are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
Good morning, Real Life. My name is Adam McKeldry. I have the privilege of serving on the staff here as one of the pastors. And it is great to be with you guys today. It's a blessing for me, especially the last couple of weeks I've been gone. And we've, you know, there was some good stuff going on. We were in Alabama celebrating my son's graduation from flight school, which was going great. And then the night before we left, I found out my father-in-law unexpectedly passed away. And so been dealing with that for the last week or so. And it's been hard. He was my wife's stepdad, but he'd been her dad since she was about two. And he's been in my life for over 25 years. And so it's been a bit of a journey, a difficult one. And, you know, whenever you lose someone in your life, especially somebody close to you, it kind of makes you kind of just stop and think and take stock of your life and where you're at and what's going on. And just start to ask questions of yourself, hard questions. Like, what am I doing with my life? You know, am I accomplishing the things that I want to accomplish? Am I leaving the kind of legacy that I want to leave? What is it that I even want for the rest of my life? You know, these are some of the questions that I've been asking myself over the last week. And as I was preparing for this sermon today, I realized something that as I'm asking myself this question, there was a lot of me in those questions and not a whole lot of Jesus. Like, I wasn't asking Jesus to show up in my life in these situations. You know, where am I asking to show him up? What am I asking him to do when he does show up? Or how about what is he even asking of me in these moments in my life and what I have to come? And you know, as we finish Matthew chapter 20 today, I think we're going to see an encounter with Jesus that two men have that were in a very difficult situation in their own lives, one that they probably had been in for pretty much most of their lives, if not all. You know, a situation that many ways probably separated them from their community, and at times, I'm sure, worshiping God. And what we're going to see today is, as we look at this encounter, is something that we continue to see about who Jesus is every time we read through the Gospels. That he is a God who has a heart to show up. No matter what is going on in life, he cares enough to stop and engage every individual that cries out to him. So if you have your Bibles, will you come over to Matthew chapter 20 with me? I'm going to read out of a different version today, a different translation. We usually teach out of the NIV, but I love the way that the New English Translation worded this section of Scripture today. So we're going to read out of that this morning. So you can follow along in your own translations, or that NAT is in your bulletins, or it's going to be on the board here. Here are the words of God. Verse 29. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed them. Two blind men were sitting by the road, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." The crowd scolded them to get them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus stopped, called them, and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. You know, this is not the first time, nor is it going to be the last time in Matthew's gospel that we see Jesus interacting with and healing people who are blind. But there's a couple of interesting things that happens in this story in particular that kind of can fly under the radar. And the biblical text actually does this quite often. You know, sometimes you'll be reading a text and you'll see something included in there and you're like, that doesn't seem to add to or subtract from the story. Why is that even in here? What is God trying to communicate through putting this in here? Now, as followers of Jesus, it is should be our goal in life. We should be working our way towards becoming better and better students of the text every day. And part of that journey includes us asking questions of the Lord's text. Why is this detail included? Why is there not more detail included here? And sometimes those questions lead us to some amazing discoveries about who God is and what he's up to. And it's just a mind-blowing experience. And sometimes they lead you to nowhere. And you're like, oh, but that was a fun journey with you, God. Thank you for letting me taking me through the text. And in this case, there's something that is an interesting detail that is included here that doesn't seem to really add to the story. And that's the fact that they're leaving Jericho. It doesn't add to or subtract to really what is going on. Because we already know that Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem. Right? He's coming from Bethany, that's on the other side of the Jordan, and he's on his way up to Jerusalem where he knows what is about to happen to him. He knows what is waiting for him up on that city. So what might be the point of specifying where they're at in this moment? Now, perhaps as you are asking questions of the text, something that might jump out to you is that you start to think about the story of Joshua and the Israelites. Well, maybe there's a connection there. Like, remember how that story goes. Joshua and the Israelites cross over the Jordan as they're moving into the promised land that God had given for them. And the first city that they come into is Jericho. And what do? God tells them to march around the city for 7 days. And at the end of that 7 days, they scream out, they cry out around the city walls, and the walls tumble, and they take the city. So maybe there's a tie to crying out because these blind men are crying out. But this is not the same Jericho. The city that Jesus is walking out of is not the same Jericho as the one that Joshua came to. It's built, this is in a completely different location. And if you dig further into what's going on in and around this city, one of the things that you'll find is that this city has these balsam trees or balsam bushes that grow around the city. And what they would do with these trees or bushes is they would make a balm. A healing balm is known as the Balm of Gilead. And one of the things that they specifically used this balm for was to try to help people be healed of blindness. So if we were the original recipients of this letter, the Jewish people that Matthew is writing this to, we would know what the city of Jericho was all about, right? We'd know what it's known for. And we would not be surprised that Jesus ran into blind people while he was there. Obviously, there's blind people there. They all go there to try to find a remedy or a healing for their blindness. I think that Matthew is including this portion, this little detail, to get us to think that, hey, maybe we try to do this on our own too often. Maybe we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps more than we cry out to God. You know, it reminds me of something that I've been trying to do on my own for the last 20 or so years. I have really bad tinnitus, or tinnitus, if you're going to correct me. I don't know. It's either way. Tinnitus is how I say it. Ringing of the ears. It comes from my time in the Army. And for a long time, I've just tried to ignore it. I just like, I can deal with this. It's not that big of a deal. But over the last handful of years, it's started getting really bad. And so I'm like, okay, I'll try some different stuff. So I started talking to the specialists and going to all the websites that say they can heal and fix all this stuff. And I got this paid overpriced, this watch thing that I'd put on my wrist and it would just buzz at a rhythm. And then there was an app that was playing a tune of some sort. And somehow it was supposed to reprogram my brain. And this was not a good time in my life. You could have probably suckered me into contributing to the Ethiopian prince at this point. Like, I was willing to do anything. But it didn't work. Shocker. It didn't work. And about a year ago, I was at a place where I was just desperate. Like, it was getting louder and louder to where I couldn't be focused at times. And so I did something that I'd never got done up to that point. I cried out to God. And I shared with my life group. I'm like, hey, this is something that's been going on a long time. Will you guys pray for me? It was the first time that I'd ever done that. The first time that it actually brought it to Jesus and asked him to do something about this. Which is crazy as I stop and think about this. Because I know who Jesus is. I know what he's capable. I know of. I know that he is God's anointed one, the Messiah. That he has healing power. I have seen and experienced it in my own life, yet somehow, for some reason, I held back this thing. Maybe I thought it was too trivial. I don't know for sure. But these two blind guys who are on the outskirts of Jericho crying out to Jesus, nothing was stopping them. They knew who he was, too. They had a good idea. You know, and whether that was because of the hubbub and the rumors that they heard coming out of Galilee about this itinerant rabbi who was going around preaching all kinds of crazy things and doing miracles. And as they heard more about the miracles here, that some of those miracles were that he was giving sight to the blind. And maybe as they started to hear those things, they began to think, hey, I know what the text says about this. And maybe Isaiah 35 came to their minds. Isaiah 35 says this, strengthen the hands that have gone limp, steady the knees that shake, tell those who panic, be strong and do not fear. Look, your God comes to avenge. With divine retribution, he comes to deliver you. Then blind eyes will open and deaf ears will hear. Or perhaps they thought of Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, officially commission you. I take hold of your hand, I protect you, and make you a covenant mediator for people, and a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to release prisoners from dungeons, those who live in darkness from prisons. Biblical text that is pointing to the anointed one of God. And there are so many others. Text that talks about the Messiah that would come and free the people from the oppression that they were under, to establish a kingdom and rule them justly, and would have the power and ability to bring healing even to the blind. You know, the way that they call out to Jesus in that moment is how we know that they believed this, because they refer to him as the Son of David. And this is not just a reference to his lineage, that he was in the line of David. This is a messianic title, saved specifically for the one that was to come, the anointed one of the holy, the God Most High, the Messiah. And these two believe this so firmly that they will not be deterred. Right, they are surrounded by a crowd that is trying to keep them from being able to interact and experience Jesus. They are trying to distract Jesus and not let him hear their cries, and they're telling him to shut up. Stop it. You're not worth his time. But they will not be deterred because they know who he is, and they cry out all the louder, have mercy on us. And their persistence to have Jesus show up in their lives pays off. This is Jesus, who is on his way up to Jerusalem with thoughts of what he's about to endure. But he hears the cries of those who need him, the cries for mercy from him, and he stops. In the middle of his most important, heavy thing that he's about to do in his life, he stops and goes back and asks a question that I think that every one of us would love to hear from Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's a very similar question that we saw last week when we were talking about James and John's mother. But these two men, their response was not one seeking status or recognition. Rather, it was one that was seeking wholeness and healing. And I wonder if Matthew knew what he was doing here. Like, putting these two stories back to back, it's probably just a coincidence. I'm sure there was no point behind that. The text does that stuff. Lots of coincidences. There's not. But the way that these guys respond to that question has really been sticking out to me this last week. What do you want me to do for you? And they say, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And that has just been the only thing I could think about. Because I started to think about all the times that Jesus is teaching and he talks about having your ears open to hear. Those who have ears, let them hear. And he talks about having eyes to see. And it began to remind me, actually, really, what it was convict me of the fact that I've been neglecting something that had become a big part of my life. Like, each morning I try to set aside time to spend with the Father. And there are times that I don't do so good at that, not as regular as I want to be. But I like to start my day with silence and solitude and prayer. And one of the things that I would pray in my times was, Lord, give me eyes to see where you are at work in the world today so that I can join you. Father, give me ears to hear so that I may hear your voice and walk this path well that you set before me. But I realize that I've been neglecting this, that I've been missing this. And you know, actually, I pray this same thing for each one of you. Every Sunday that I have the privilege of being up here to share with you from God's Word, I stand back there during the last song, and I pray for every one of you to have eyes to see and ears to hear what God has for you today. So that you can be like these two blind men in Jericho. These two guys who do something when their eyes are opened. Who choose to get up and follow Jesus. You know how I said there was no coincidences in the Bible? Well, there happens to be another story almost identical to this one that we talked about back in Matthew 9. Up in the Galilee, Jesus is doing his ministry again. And he comes across these two blind men who do and say almost the exact same thing that these guys from Jericho do. They cry out, Son of David, Messiah, Anointed One, have mercy on us. And Jesus does. He touches their eyes and gives them sight back. And he does something strange at the end of this story. He tells them, don't go tell anybody what you have experienced. Which seems odd to us, I know. But it wasn't time yet. And he wanted them to just do as he was instructing. But they choose to do the complete opposite of what Jesus tells them. Instead, they go throughout the region and tell everybody about what had happened to them. Which begs the question, were their eyes really opened? Did they really regain their sight if they were just going to continue to do what they've always done, which is what they wanted to? But these guys in Jericho, when their eyes are opened, and the first thing that they get to see in their lives is the merciful, loving, compassionate face of Jesus smiling at them. There's only one thing that they can do. They choose to take a different path. A better path than what the other two blind men did. And they get up, and instead of going out and doing their own thing, they follow Jesus. And I don't think that Jesus just opened their physical eyes in this moment like they had asked him to. I think that he opened their eyes spiritually as well, so that they could start to see the world in the way that Jesus sees the world. And when they saw that, what he was up to, what he was doing, they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to join in with him in bringing this same experience that they had to the rest of the world. And what a time to decide to do this. Because this is the week, this is like 7 days before Jesus is going to be put on a cross and murdered. Can you imagine all the things that these two brand new sets of eyes are going to see? All the amazing, wonderful, and terrible things. They are going to partake probably in the triumphal entry. Walk with Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. What a celebration as everyone's crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us. They're going to see Jesus go into the temple and clean it out of all of the corruption that was going on. They're going to see him as he confronts the corruption within the temple system and go head to head with the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. But they're also going to see how that leads to him being arrested, beaten, and put on a cross. Probably not what they imagined they would see with those new eyes when they decided to get up and follow the Son of David into the royal city of Jerusalem. But what else could they do? They recognized who Jesus is. He stopped for them and did something powerful and amazing in their lives. What other response is there truly to have? It should be this one: to get up and follow him. And perhaps this is why some of us, and I include myself in this, some of us, well, we like the idea of Jesus asking this question, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? We're a little apprehensive to actually answer it, because we know that deep down that this is where it leads. That it's going to require us to get up and follow Jesus, regardless of where he leads us. Regardless of what we're going to see and experience, that is what it requires us to do. Or we can do like those first two blind men and just choose to walk the path the way we want to. And so I ask us, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want him to do for you? How do you want him to show up in your life? Look, this is the same Jesus today as is the one that we just read about. It is the same compassionate, merciful God that when he hears the persistent cries of his loved creation, that he will stop. That he will stop in the middle of the most important thing that he's doing and come to you and ask you, what do you want me to do for you? I think there is something that we can see in this interaction with these two men, that it is an amazing thing that happens when we persistently call out to Jesus for for physical or emotional healing or restored relationships that we are desiring in life or freedom from addiction that we've been desperately wanting, that in the midst of us crying out to him, he begins to open our eyes as well. And regardless of what his answer is, when we ask for something, regardless of whether it's a yes, you are healed, or a no, that's not the best for you, or a not yet, or you don't know what you're asking for, Jesus opens our eyes more and more in this process. And we have the opportunity to begin to see the world as he does. And if you really see the things the way that Jesus does, it will change your life. There is no way that you will be able to ignore the things that he sees. You will have kingdom eyes, which means that you will begin to see those who you see as your enemy, who you've declared as your enemy, whether it's because they've wronged you, or they have some differing political opinion than you do, but you will be able to see them the way that God sees them, as his image bearers, that are worth loving, that they need compassion and mercy and grace just as much as you do. You will begin to see people that you run into out on the street here on a Sunday morning when you're greeting them and you say, hey, good morning, how you doing? And we do the obligatory, oh, I'm fine. When you have kingdom eyes, you will see that they're not fine. And you will do something about it. Instead of just pretending like everything is okay and going your own way, you'll stop. You will stop where you're going, what you're doing, just like Jesus did, and say, what's really going on? How can I pray for you right here in this moment? How can I partner with God and bring shalom to your life right now? When your eyes are open, you will see the needs around you. We're going into the Christmas and Thanksgiving season. There are a lot of families that are struggling every year, but this year especially, with everything that's going on in our country. If you have eyes that have been opened and you see the way that God sees, you will do something about that and not just be like, oh, that's a bummer. But you will grab somebody and you will say, this is a problem. We need to do something. Let's go serve them together. But this is where Jesus' question leads us. It leads us to our eyes being opened as he meets our own needs. And we have a choice of how we're going to respond to that. We can be like those two blind men who were in the Galilee, who knew who Jesus was, experienced him in an amazing, powerful way, but then chose to walk away from that and do their own thing. Kind of looking like they're doing God's thing because, you know, they're out there lifting his name and propping up his fame, but that's not what he wanted from them. Or we can be like these two from Jericho, who after they have seen who Jesus truly is, that he is a God who stops and meets us where we're at when we cry out to him, that he will do amazing and powerful things in our lives. And they got up and followed him. Will we? When you see that, will you get up and follow Jesus? Will you choose to see the world as Jesus does and join him in what he is doing? No matter where it leads you, will you choose each and every day to let your eyes be opened? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for your eyes to be opened to see the world the way God does? Because he's going to lead us in a direction that is not always easy. We will see many great and powerful and amazing things, but we're going to see hard things too. Will you partner with him in that? As we move towards our time in communion today, I just ask for you to just think about that question. Or actually, you know, what do you want from the Lord? What do you want him to do for you? And I would challenge you to think if you are at a place in your life where you would say, Lord, let my eyes be opened. Because you know what is going to follow after that. It's going to require you to get up and follow him wherever he leads. Are you ready for that? Each week we get to take communion together. But every week we get to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. And we get to learn about who he was and what he did through the text that we study every week. And we can take what we've learned into this moment. A time for us to reflect on that. And so I just want to give you a little bit of time here. And think about that. What do you want Jesus to do for you? And it's okay to ask for healing. That's fantastic. Do you want him to open your eyes? Do you want him to send you? What is it you want him to do for you? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He says, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is my body, which is broken, that I freely give for each and every one of you. So let us remember together. After the meal, he took the cup. Said, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is in my blood. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Let us remember what he has done for us. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you gave us your word that continually reminds us and shows us what kind of God you are. Lord, how you are a compassionate, loving, and merciful God. Lord, that you would stop in the middle of what you were doing to come and meet us where we're at. Thank you, Father, for being that kind of God. Lord, I pray for each one of us here today. Lord, again, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear where you are working in the world around us. Give us eyes to see, Lord, where we can take the things that you've been doing in our lives, the amazing things that you do in our lives, and help share that with the world around us. Lord, give us the ears to hear your words that you speak to our hearts and our minds in those moments that we need you to help us stay on the path. Lord, give us the boldness to get up and follow you no matter where you lead us, through the good times and the bad. We lift your name on high, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.